Can you hear that? It's the sound of the gulls and the swash of the sea on the sands. I'm looking out across Pool Bay to the English Channel and the world beyond. Listen again. This is a mysterious, in-between sort of place. Not only the meeting of sea and land and sky, but also a shifting, joyful, melancholy realm where nothing is permanent and reality and fantasy collide. I'm Peter John Cooper. I've made my living for the past 50 years telling stories. In this podcast, I'm going to share some of them with you. They're not all about this clifftop place, of course, but they all come from that strange in-between world of the imagination. Oh, let's go inside, make a cup of tea, and I'll tell you today's tale. You just love charity shops, somewhere you can go and find a bargain and know that you're doing somebody some good at the same time. Yes, I found this pair of grey trainers in a charity shop, and that reminds me of a story that sometimes a bargain can be slightly more sinister than you hoped for. Welcome to my 10-minute tales. I'm Peter John Cooper, and today's story is called The Death Trousers of Pool. The feet are pounding down the midnight pavement with desperate urgency. We know just how desperate and how urgent, because they are running in super slow motion. The grey trainers rising from the flagstones, gliding through the thickened air and slapping down with agonizing slowness. And just to underline just how urgent this really is, we sometimes see clips of the runner in real time, with the trainer smacking down like gunshots, which echo from the cruel roars of the seedy hotels on the promenade. Now we see the runner's face contorted with fear and desperation, his mouth open in super slow motion, and we hear the long drawn out exclamation, "No!" Dragging on through the night air. We know that the runner, a defrocked clergyman, has realized the truth. He has just worked out the common factor behind all the unexplained deaths, 15 perhaps, even 20, that have plagued the rundown estates and dingy little back streets that the little port of Pool seems to be entirely made of. What was it that linked the young mother from Canford Heath, the teenager from Oakdale, the disabled middle-aged dancer from Sandbanks? In a flash of inspiration, as vivid as a visitation from God, the very God that our runner has disavowed from the pulpit of St. James's only last week to a congregation as shocked at his revelation as he is now. he knows. And only he can stop further mayhem and slaughter. We see his size 10 feet crash through the panels at the bottom of the street door. They are pounding up the stone stairs of the cabbage stinking boarding house, and our man is shoulder charging through the room door, the lock splintering away from the woodwork. A young woman jerks her head up in sudden terror at the ghastly intrusion. She is just dressing to go out to the club, sitting on the edge of the bed, just about to pull on the red and black stripy trousers. No! His voice continues, and now in real time, leave the trousers where they are. Jabbing out like the finger of Jehovah on the Sistine Chapel ceiling. But her hands are frozen in terror, her fingers locked onto the waistband, her eyes stretched wide. Slow as treacle, our man snatches from his pocket the heavily embroidered stole, the symbol of his once held position as upholder of the faith. He wraps the scarf around his hands and stretches for the hornet-coloured garment. It is as though he is imploring, begging, praying for the miracle of time. But now the girl has found a voice. She is screaming, her voice joining the shouted instructions echoing round the room. Now his trainers come into play again, thrusting up and back, slow motion again, ninja-like. An overhead bicycle kick crashing through the dirty glass of the rotten sash window, and continuing with the same movement, with a deep yell as if of religious ecstasy, he throws the trousers up and out of the window, far out into the bay. Now, he is telling the girl, explaining, reassuring. It was the trousers, the same pair moving from the rails of Age Concern to Sue Ryder to the British Heart Foundation, worming their way through the female underclasses of Poole. But now, they are gone. He speaks gently, breathlessly. The girl sobs and rests her head on his well-muscled shoulder. And as dawn breaks, we see them standing there, the faded, ragged curtains flapping in the cold early morning breeze. He strokes her hair abstractedly as he contemplates eternity and his faith flooding back through his manly frame. Postscript. Across the harbour, a yacht is under motor power, heading for the open sea and the world beyond. A woman, lithe and bikini clad, shivers in the morning chill. So cold, so cold. She shivers again, wishing she has grabbed just a few more garments. but there is no going back now. The rat, who until 20 minutes ago was her husband, will be standing sullen at the quayside. She suddenly sees something that makes her pause at the wheel. Draped over the rail, just out of reach, a pair of red and black stripy trousers. Well, I hope you enjoyed this 10-minute tale. Keep watching, and you will see another one very soon. Bye.